everybody. Welcome back. We took another Pixels vacation, so again, apologize for that. I'm Gingy. With me today is the ever enthusiastic imaginary horse. And we have Dom. And with that, you guys, quick note, just so you guys are aware as well, Odin is taking a leave of absence from the show. He will be back, hopefully, eventually. But for now, just don't expect Odin. But with that being said, you know, gotta make that lovely phone call. We'll be right back. All right, we got some stuff to talk about for this week. Quick thing in Pokemon Unite that I am particularly excited for. We finally got some holoware for fucking Azumarill. And go figure, it is a punk style. So it's got like that typical black spike jacket on it. It's very fitting. For those of you who are ever interested in the online competitions, for Sword and Shield, the next one that's been announced is called the I Choose Chew Cup. It is a single battle competition that only allows you to use Pichu, Pikachu, Raichu, or Alolan Raichu. All players who enter will get 50 BP, and registration is now open until August 11th. So, you know, Pikachu Cup. Go for it. Since we've last spoke in the Pokemon Go department, Niantic has announced the Community Day Pokemon for August. And it is Galarian Zigzagoon. And it will be on August 13th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. your local time. When evolved into Obstagoon, it will learn the exclusive Community Day move of Obstruct. Which is super interesting in the event going on as of now, and it will last until the 2nd. So when you guys are listening to this, you have until tomorrow. But honestly, I may finish this editing and get it up by tomorrow on the 29th, just to kind of make up for no pixels. So yeah, the event runs from July 27th through the 2nd, and it's called the Hisuian Discoveries. We have the Pokemon Go debut of Hisuian Growlithe with, you know, obviously Hisuian Arcanine. We have Hisuian Quillfish and Overquill. Then we have Hisuian Sneasel and then Sneasler. We do have another collection challenge introduced in the event. Nothing really noteworthy out of that. Due to the previous GoFest, we unlocked the Ultra Bonus 4 the Hisuian Discoveries event this upcoming Sunday, so the 31st, it'll be a Hisuian Braviary raid day from 11 to 2. And, you know, Hisuian Braviary will be in raids, and its shiny form will also be unlocked. And it will have the raid day shiny chances. I believe those days, I want to say those odds are like 1 in 10, 1 in 20. Somewhere in there. So if you want a shiny Hisuian Braviary, this is your chance. Let's see. Oh, this is fun. I wanted to also mention super quick. In the Pokemon TCG department, the Pokemon Company International have announced the first in their Halloween 2022 campaign. The first instance is a TCG feature called Trick or Trade. These come in booster packs. Find that funny. Booster pack bundles of 40 packs containing three Pokemon-themed cards around Halloween, such as, you know, Zubat, Gengar, Pumpkaboo, Mimikyu, and Poltegeist with the Pikachu pumpkin stamp. They will be available from September 1st in grocery stores and other stores across the U.S. Halloween merchandise is also confirmed to be coming to the Pokemon Center. So, you know, trick or treat. And then one last major update in Pokemon Go. Niantic introduced a new feature called the Daily Adventure Incense. And this is a special type of incense. It is blue. It is a permanent key item that won't go away. And it doesn't take up a spot in your party or in your bag. But it's only active for 15 minutes at a time. And it will only, it'll only spawn Pokemon if you are moving. If you are sitting at home, don't use the incense. You can only use it once every 24 hours. And the Pokemon that will spawn via this incense will not normally be found very easily around where you are at. Let's see. And then when you activate this said Daily Adventure Incense, if you have less than 30 Pokeballs, Great Balls, Ultra Balls, in total, when you turn the Adventure Incense on, you will be given 30 Pokeballs for free. I find that part to be really nice. There are two pieces of special research available for the players for this incense. And there have been multiple reports at this rate that Galarian Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres have been spawning off of this incense. However, it is incredibly rare. They have a catch rate of 0.3%, and they have a flee rate of 90%. So, good fucking luck in getting a Galarian bird. But that, that pretty much is it in the Pokemon sphere. And super quick, I read this article by Danielle Pardis off of Games Industry. And this pulled me in for quite a shock. Diablo Immortal has generated 100 million already since its launch.
Why do you let this happen?
Pay to win, I guess, but... Oh, dear God.
Alive there.
Do you guys have any news?
I have a dongle for
womp, womp, womp.
The near future becomes slightly further away. While hotly anticipated cooperative shooter Warhammer 40k Darktide has been delayed, Fat Shark's latest was supposed to be released on September 13th, but it is now scheduled for November 30, 2022. That will be the PC launch. The game of the Xbox Series X S launch will happen shortly after PC, with a specific launch date to come. The extra wave will have any fans looking about as happy as the heretical chaos group I've got up there at the time of this article. There's a few little words there. Fat Shark CEO Martin Walu, I don't know how to pronounce that, announced the delay in a note posted on Twitter. Delaying the game is perhaps the most difficult decisions of the development basis and one we are not excited about making. So we hope this speaks to our commitment to taking the time necessary and doing whatever it takes to get you the best possible game, said Wally. I'm saying that correctly. Specifically says the studio needing more time to improve, quote, stability, performance, and to mature key systems. To that end, Fat Shark will launch technical tests and beta in the coming months. It invited the community to sign up for those on its website. The delay will be a hard blow to our editor, Wes Fenton, who found the Dark Tide absolutely rules in his hands on a preview with its last spot. After Vermintide and Vermintide 2, Fat Shark had the essentials of making a co-op action game down pat, Wes said. But stepping from Warhammer into the weirder universe of 40K, it feels like the developers do need to make sure every inch of this game scream space week. You can read that whole review on the site. That is the news. So for all of you Warhammer 40K fans, I'm
Well, it sounds like you guys really need to start swinging your Warhammers if you want better results. Eh? Eh? Gotta make up for lost time, man. I plead the fifth. I shall not incriminate myself, sir. Innocent until proven guilty.
I'm on this podcast, it's a dictatorship.
Oh, fuck. Behind the scenes, guys. Oops. Anyway, DJ, do you have news?
Yes, we will start with the DOCOM news on Global. We are still in the middle of the 7-year anniversary, and we have just had the gold coin LRs drop. The LR Kaioken Goku and LR Grade 8 Vegeta from the Saiyan Saga are live. I don't recommend summoning on them, their banner is pretty trash. But the rainbow tickets now have their banners available. We're able to do extra summons on all three of the current banners for the Gods, the Fours, and the Saiyan Saga. So go ahead and use those tickets if you want. Well, there's more missions available to start collecting, to continue trying to collect all the tickets needed for the 77 unit summon that'll come. And that actually, after looking at it again, it guarantees 3 LRs in those summons.
Ooh.
So if you're able to get every ticket.
I think I might be missing a few.
On JP, a bunch of stuff has been happening. Real quick, just to make sure I have my information accurate. We just had the announcement of a new GT event. Where we have a Dokkan Fest Pan, who has unit super attacks with Giru, Trunks GT, and Goku GT. Even with an active where she does a Kamehameha special with Super Saiyan 4.
Really?
Yep, and the free-to-play Super Saiyan GT Goku and Meta Rildo from the GT story event are not only getting Awakenings to UR, are also getting EZAs, as well as the LR Majoob is getting an EZA, and the LR GT Trio is getting an EZA as well, coming up.
Hmm. Sweet.
Last one, I believe the current summons still, because those are the ones that are upcoming. The current ones that are available are the new LR fused Zamasu on JP. You had a bunch of EZAs on over there. You had Tech Vegito and Strength Rose EZA, as well as the Trunks and Mai and the Rose, Goku Black, and Zamasu LR. Those all EZA. It's been pretty busy. There's a lot to come in just the next few days. So I'm excited for when we get all those. Probably the most exciting one yet because I love GT, so those will be fun ones to do when they come.
Dude. Can we just take a moment to admire the art of the new LR Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta?
I mean, if you want, you could use your rainbow ticket to try and get a dupe. Or go for the gods. Both are good.
I tried to go for the gods, but I ended up pulling another dupe of the LR Mastered Ultra Instinct Goku. Which, I mean, I'm not complaining, because now I'm in the same boat as you there, DJ. I need two more before I can rainbow him.
Moving on into actual gaming news, we weren't able to report on this before, but Minecraft, Microsoft, is banning any NFTs for Minecraft.
Really?
Which is very very surprising considering the trend that's been going on lately.
Yes, and NFT people are not happy about it to the point where there is an NFT company reportedly will make its own Minecraft game.
They're that salty.
They don't want to be banned, so they're going to make something to rival Minecraft full of NFTs.
Jesus, people.
I love
Wow.
And also on that NFT bandwagon, the boss of Epic Games says NFT games will not be banned from the Epic Games store.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good old Tim Sweeney for you. They have no plans to ban them, even though I think Steam? I'm not sure if Steam is banning them. I know Steam... I'm pretty sure Steam came out against them. I don't know that.
Oh, people.
Steam actually banned all things related to the blockchain, including cryptocurrency and NFTs, last year. Yeah, back in October.
Hats off, Steam. Good job.
They've been banned on Steam for nearly a year now.
I guess that's why Epic Games has taken over the whole shebang, because if Steam is not doing it, then Epic Games does it, and they'll profit from the lack of competition about it.
Oh.
Really?
I hope all who own an NFT or who defend it see the whole thing crash in front of their eyes and burn. It is so, so, so risky.
To end on somewhat good news, EA is reportedly making a single-player open-world Black Panther game.
Ooh!
It's rumored to be in the works at a studio led by former Monolith Productions boss Kevin Stevens. It is only in the rumor stages. We don't have anything official on this. So take it with a grain of salt, but...
I mean, that'd be interesting, that's for sure.
I would love to see how to fuck it up, but the bar sounds really good.
I mean, they're already going to screw up the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole Black Panther Wakanda Forever is... I think it's too early to tell it's going to be ruined. I know it's not going to be as great as it should be, because, you know, rest in peace, Chadwick. But, No, it would not have done well.
Yeah, I saw a news article not too long ago saying that Chadwick Boseman's brother came out and said he would have preferred that, even Chadwick would have preferred that he be recast.
That might be true, but I don't think that's going to work with a character that is wrongly deemed as the first black superhero. Like the first black main superhero in the movie.
Very wrongly, he is not.
He's not, I know, but like a lot of people believe he is, and a lot of people take a lot of pride in that.
So if they're wrong, and they're stupid. That is blade erasure, and I will not stand for it.
I know it is! I very much know it is!
And I will call them idiots, and I will say that their opinions are discarded, and they are thrown in the trash.
Wait,
yeah,
what's going on?
More people are dumb than they're not, so...
People think that Black Panther is the first black superhero.
The first black major superhero.
Which is erasure of Blade. Mm-hmm. Which, sure, it went down the hill, but so did a lot of superhero movies back then. And it's still...
Hancock, which is not your average superhero.
I mean, Hancock is awesome. Hancock is awesome.
Also, are we forgetting Static Shock?
I don't think Static Shock...
Oh, movie-wise, okay. They fucking should.
I'm not saying they should. I'm saying I don't think they had a chance.
Well, we'll have to fix that.
But anyway, this is a pop shot piece.
It is not.
That's our gaming news.
All right, you guys, we're gonna...
Well, actually, there is one more thing. Multiverse, I believe, is in open beta now, so if you...
Yes!
Taz just got nerfed.
Yes, I'm going to look into that while we are doing the show, but we'll be right back. All right, you guys, welcome back to the games that we have been playing. Dom, what have you been doing? Attention. You got my attention. Metal music, dude.
Yeah, it's got like rock and metal and shit. Like, it's like heavy, like heavily inspired material. It's
yes.
Got the relentless score, several weapons that you can use to fuck up your enemies. You basically kill demons and cultists and stuff. It's not like space and military demons. It's like Doom. It's more like, I don't know how to say it. Like, more horror movie from inspired, I don't know, like Chainsaw Massacre type, more farmhouses, maybe a little bit of military complexes, but not like futuristic, more like cults and Eldritch. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's really good, and I bought it during the Steam sale, so it's like cheap, dirty. Love that.
Okay. Cool. All right. DJ, what have you been doing?
Oh, we've been doing our Kingdom Hearts retrospective. Of course, we are nearing the end. It was planned on being the end, but Luxor decided to be a dick. And so we'll be ending it tomorrow with the final data boss. So hopefully that goes well. Other than that, it's mostly just been Dokkan doing grinding and leveling, doing the daily missions because it keeps giving good stones and tickets. So it's been pretty normal. Go check out the stream VODs. Kingdom Hearts series is almost done, and I just did a Yu-Gi-Oh opening today, so. That'll be available for
viewing. Cool. Well, what have I done? I mean, I've been playing Pokemon Go as I normally have. Nothing too noteworthy there. I've been trying to find the Galarian birds out of that daily incense. I've done it now 3 days, for the past 3 days, on multiple accounts, and I've not encountered one of them. I can unfortunately say that I finished the story campaign of Dragalia Lost, and I deleted the app off of my phone. Just because, I mean, Nintendo has already confirmed that they're shutting the servers down for the game, and all I primarily wanted to do was beat the story.
Is this a mobile game?
Yeah.
Everybody's
curious how we feel about mobile games, go back a few episodes to watch the roast of Jindy's mobile game addiction.
Shut the fuck up.
And those of you who feel hurt by that episode can watch the next one where we take some heat from Jindy.
Damn fucking straight.
His was more enjoyable to listen to because it was funny.
Funny my ass.
They're both good.
Anyway, you fucking dicks. I did finish Mega Man Battle Network 5 Team Colonel the other day. And I guess I can call this my retrospective of Mega Man. I started... until it comes out on Switch, and I'm gonna do it all over again. Yeah, finished Team Colonel. I started BN6, Cybeast Gregar. As of today, earlier, we beat Dive Man. So hopefully, in the next stream, I will be getting to the point with Gregar. Excuse me. But we will see on that. I've also played a little bit of Outlast. I did start playing the popular game I'm sure you guys have heard about by now. It's called Stray. It is. Yeah, the kid. Yeah. So I'm going to figure out how to do mods for this game, and I'm going to run around as Garfield. Mark my fucking words.
It's Garfield?
Yeah, there are mods replacing the cat with Garfield.
There's lots of mods. I saw a Doom mod earlier.
What?
Yeah, it's the cat or the Doom guy helmet.
That's fucking awesome.
I thought it would be like Daisy, you know, rather.
But so far, so good. Right, especially with a rabbit that meows. I mean, that would be very questionable.
It would be fun.
That it would. I think that about covers it. I mean, I beat the story of Ghost Recon Wildlands. There's still so much extra content for me to do, and DJ, I'm looking very forward to linking up with you to doing some of these extra missions so I can unlock the secret ending. Yeah. besides that, I bought some new Yu-Gi-Oh cards earlier today to help build my Fallen of All Paths deck. Should be good to go. I just need to open up the three structure decks that I bought and, you know, just kind of take it apart, pull the good cards out. I think that's about it. I mean, I've also been playing Dokkan as well, doing similar stuff to DJ. I got a message coming up, and that's throwing me off my track. I think that's it, you guys. We're gonna hop into the topic, I guess. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the topic, you guys. For this week, we're gonna be talking about genres, or dead genres, and the games we would like to see in that. Does anyone want to kick off?
I have some ideas if you would let me. Alright, so, what do we consider a dead genre, first and foremost? Essentially, whenever a company, like a big name company, AAA company, or just, you know, wants to pump out different games, has basically, like, stopped doing something, because nowadays, with the ease that indie developers can make games, no genre is actually dead. You're always going to find something from a specific genre that was done like in the last 2 years. But they've definitely found that falling out of fashion. And I think one of the biggest and most agreeable genres that we can all see that have almost completely died out, at least as most video games is point-and-click adventures.
Oh yeah, right, those were fun.
Yeah, right now it's a lot easier to program games to be three-dimensional. Like sometimes even making that three-dimensional game where you can walk around a surface is easier to make than a 2D side scroller or Pokemon ones. Jinji and I can confirm that.
Yes, very much so.
So I would like to say, like, yeah, like basically point-and-click adventure games, which is, you know, you just don't see them like almost anything, like at all. Like, I cannot think at the top of my head of a new point-and-click game adventure that isn't a mobile game. We have seen that in mobile games because, you know, it kind of makes sense. It's touchscreen. You touch it. It point-and-click touch-and-click. It works, but we all have also stated that mobile gaming is not your standard type of gaming. And also, like, it's not AAA companies, it's mostly, you know, cash grabs.
Right.
So yeah, that's one of the games that I would say that have pretty much fallen out of fashion. Anybody else would like to mention more games?
Well, I personally would like you to continue, but like one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, or at least a game that's in a different genre, we know Gears of War is a third-person shooter game. Gears Tactics is set in the Gears of War universe, but it's an RTS game. It's a turn-based strategy instead of a third-person shooter. And it is... Right, yeah. Like XCOM.
Well, XCOM is not too old, but I expect.
But yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up super quick. But yeah, Dom, either continue or DJ, do you have anything?
Basically, I pulled up a little bit of a list of games that, you know, that aren't at least super popular right now. 2D side-scrolling platformers, they're mostly, like, in the projects now. All the games that used to start off as a 2D side-scroller, you know, like Donkey Kong, Mega Man, Kirby, I think maybe Kirby, I'm not sure. Mario, definitely, Sonic, and all those. They basically shifted into a third-person perspective. Maybe for some mini-games, you can get the 2D side-scroller, but for a niche thing inside of the game, and games that are entirely 2D side-scrollers are usually more indie projects nowadays. Another one that is it's not very popular, and this is something that I spoke about before, is survival horror games are no longer, they have been delegated to niche projects and indie projects. What we mean by survival horror is when you have to run away and you have to, like, avoid danger.
Outlast is what you're saying.
Essentially Outlast or Amnesia or any other, any horror game in the which you cannot defend yourself. You have to survive in other ways. Because right now, like Resident Evil or even Dead by Daylight, basically those games taking action, it's still like unsettling and there's still a bit of horror, but you're given a fucking gun to fight that gun or a stupid flashlight. Or like the new one, Evil Dead the Game, which has its jump scares and it's a bit tense. No, you are given shotguns and bats and stuff. They might not be too effective, but it's been falling out of fashion and it's been more replaced by action horror when you can actually do something about it. Another game that I would say that we have seen a very famous one lately, which is Cuphead, shoot 'em up. They are like, right now you have Cuphead, but name another one that is as famous as Cuphead that's been say SDSs because, well, you got first person shooters are still common, even though people don't want them as much anymore. They're still there. DJ, you got anything to add?
DJ!
Welcome back.
Mic turned off for some reason.
Huh.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does a good shooter count as a rare genre?
Sadly, it does not, even though it shows
genre. Otherwise, I was gonna say a good World War II shooter, because we haven't had one of those in years.
Okay. Here's a hot take here, because I have played a lot of the Call of Duties. I want Medal of Honor to come back. Can we? Like, this would be like a total dream remaster. I want Rising Sun and fucking and Frontline. You know, Medal of Honor, Rising Sun, and Frontline to come back. Like, don't do extra shit with them. Just HD remaster the shit and put it out. Those were good shooter games.
Yeah. I don't think I've played them, but I know that when they came out, like, they were, like, very highly attended stuff. I sadly was under very protective parents who wouldn't dare, like, touch those games until I was, like, 18. And by the time I was 18, I was, like, already being told to get the fuck out of the house. Yeah.
Well, I'm not a fan of it. You don't see too many bullet holes these days.
Yeah, at least not in like console gaming or PC gaming. One of the games that I mentioned, Suffer, is a bullet hole game. But it's a bullet hole or shoot 'em up. I think they're the same. Or is there a difference between bullet hells and shoot 'em ups?
I think they're very similar. I'm not exactly sure the difference.
Suffers is an example of a game that is the combat of the game is essentially based around that, and also turn-based combat, like XCOM. It's an indie game. It had its Kickstarter, and it's still in development. It came out like a year ago, but it's still in development. So it's a niche. It's not part of the more common fashion stuff. What's fashion?
You know, it's a rare genre that I'd like to see come back. I want to see movie and TV show tie-in games again.
Oh, yeah.
They got such a bad rep before, but there were always some gems.
Right. Especially the Harry Potter games.
Well, I mean, you also have ones like X-Men Origins. If you haven't played the X-Men Origins game, you are missing out. Because it has nothing... It has next to nothing to do with the movie, and it's just a shout out to X-Men.
Well, the problem is that I don't know. You have seen just the Avengers game with Miss Marvel as the main character. Calendar is one of those because it is.
No, because they weren't allowed to use any of the recognizable assets from MCU.
No, I don't know. I feel like the biggest problem with those games is that they are made specifically for money. Like, they're not made to be good games or to be important to the lore of the movies or the TV shows. They're made for merch. They're made as merchandise for money.
You get some good gems out of it.
Yeah, but you get a couple gems in a
like
Spider-Man
2.
But yeah, I don't know.
Rest in peace, the Superman game. Sorry, go ahead, Dom.
Thank you. If the developers decided to, well, not developers, the leaders of the company decided to make the game good for the sake of making a good game and maybe add more to the story as just a as opposed to just a cash grab, yes, I would love to see that. I don't know why I would love to see that. I know that I wouldn't like to see that with Marvel because it feels like it's been very mediocre lately, but I would love to see that.
I mean, you wouldn't want a video game based off The Boys?
Oh.
Yes. I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Or can we... Can we get a survival horror game with it?
I mean, I guess some of those are coming back. We did get, Evil Dead recently.
Yes.
That's technically a movie tie-in.
Excuse me.
And Ghostbusters got remastered not too long ago. But, I don't know, it's like, it's not something you see every day. Like, for almost every, action movie would get its own video game, like, even back in the NES era. And animated movies got their own games. Like, not most of them weren't really good. Like, when you're a kid and just playing a movie tie-in game, usually you're just having fun anyway. Like, they don't need to be the best, but it'd be nice to see it. Just nice to see them come back and be more often. Like, there's plenty of shows out there I'd love to play a video game. Owl House or Amphibia from Disney, those would make amazing games. Like, it's just got that stigma to it because a lot of the games are just horrible cash-ins that, and most of these other big studios don't want to touch them anymore because all the small studios got bought up. But I don't know, I'd love to see them come back. I'd love to see more movie video games. Because sometimes there's movies that I'd like to play as a video.
That would be nice to see now again. But I don't know. Have to, keep fingers crossed. I mean, the movies are only getting better nowadays, right? So it would only help support those movies more knowing if there was a video game tie-in. But yeah, any other comments?
The only other one that I can think of would be like rhythm games, Just Dance, Rapper Rapper, things like those games are not as famous. We have had the Fighting Fun, I don't know how to pronounce it. But that one's blown up a lot, but it's and it's got a lot of copies and stuff, a lot of animations and stuff. But you haven't really seen it from an official company or something with that, aside from the creators of Friday Fun. That's about it. In terms of making games.
Mm-hmm.
With John, I would love to play. I don't have any. I am genuinely not interested in most of these.
Right.
The only ones that I could say I might be interested to see people play because I wouldn't dare myself would be survival horror games. The classical you are fucked if they find you survival horror game.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't think I can play them.
There are some tense moments, specifically in Outlast, where I am legitimately sweating, oh fuck, they're coming, oh god, I can't hide, I'm in a corner, I'm legitimately screwed, and somehow I survive and get around the corner to run away from them. But going back to what I said earlier about Gears Tactics, I want more real-time strategy games, that turn-based shit. I mean, I like what's the word? Fire Emblem. And hell, speaking of that, now since I deleted excuse me, deleted Dragalia, I can re-download Fire Emblem because, you know, feed my mobile hoodlum addiction.
Money.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really put money into Fire Emblem.
Good old Fett.
Yeah, exactly. Good old Fett. But, you know, that brings me back to, you know, what Pokemon Conquest. That was a fantastic game. And I wish we can have more of that.
I wish I could get a copy of that.
I say, how expensive is that shit now?
Pretty sure it's over $100.
Yes. Okay, let's go to eBay. Well, brand new, in box. You're looking at $585. It's a Japanese edition. Okay, because I saw a pre-owned one for $22. Okay, so that was very much a Japanese one. Let me see super quick if GameStop has a copy, but I sincerely doubt that. They're listing it for $40, but it says it's unavailable. English. Oh, no, come on. Do. Pokemon Cut. Manual only, no game for $40, which is stupid. Looks like about... Ooh, nope, I found... authentic tested game only for $55. And then I found one $62 with case and booklet. Do you want me to send you the link for that, DJ?
I'm not going to buy it now, though.
Okay, fair enough. All right, anyway.
According to price charting, loose price average is $57.49. New price, $177.87. Complete price, 86.
Huh. Well, all right, then I guess we'll go ahead and hop into the bullshit. We'll be right back. Let me play that lovely, lovely affiliate ad.
What's up, guys? Do you enjoy podcasts like us? Have you ever wanted to start one of your own? Are you too scared to start one? Well, to be honest, we were scared in the very beginning before we started Pixels, but luckily we found Buzzsprout.
Buzzsprout is one of the easiest ways to start a podcast. They're a dedicated team driven to help your podcast succeed. Their website is very simple to use and gives you stats on your show. It's amazing. They put your podcast on all the different podcast players like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.
Exactly, and we love Buzzsprout so much, we recently became an affiliate. Start your own podcast using our special link, which will be in the show description. Today, and after upgrading to any service plan, you will be able to receive a $20 Amazon gift card. Join us, as Pixels, and over 100,000 other users using Buzzsprout today. Buzzsprout, easiest way to podcast. And now, we will return you to your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alright, cool. Again, this soundboard makes editing so much more easier. So yeah, what's up? What's on your guy's mind?
Marvel's MCU face has me...
very, very exhausted.
Why do you say that?
Did you not see the announcements?
Not all of them.
They just revealed the entirety of Phase 5 and the three main movies of Phase 6.
There are only three main of Phase 6?
That they've revealed.
Yeah, but like the current one? How many movies was it? Like six?
Six movies, six shows for Phase 5.
Back to back? Fuck, like they just went all out and making as much as possible. But, like,
it also shows that Phase 6 will be done by 2025. That means Phase 4 through 6 will be shorter than the entirety of the last three phases.
That's way too much crap.
Yeah, the problem is that it is crap, because
we're already longer than the original MCU films.
They are pushing for quantity over quality.
Yeah.
Making sure that their lead projects are all feminist oriented and stuff, so that if anyone wants to critique them, they get called misogynistic, essentially, because we've got, like, I saw a little analysis of so far how many characters have been introduced to the MCU, and they've outplayed of being like, oh, we have only focused on like four guys and like 12 girls, right? So we've had, how do I put this? They've been trying to like balance out how, you know, the beginning of the Marvel universe was mostly male kind of characters, and then you had like Black Widow sneak in there, Avengers at first, and then you had like Scarlet Witch. You
know? Mm-hmm.
And then like Shuri and all stuff in jazz, and also like villains and stuff. And now they're like trying to like flip it on their head, but they haven't been doing a good job about it. Like, they just seem very lackluster. I don't know. I just feel like every show that I've watched from Marvel lately has been lackluster or has been like mediocre in comparison to what I know that they're.
Right, and I'm not gonna say I'm necessarily against like 80% of this shit being fucking Disney Plus series, but I don't like how many of them are episodic in nature. I mean, I like the idea more of, you know, maybe sprinkle in a couple of them, you know, between the big movies, but if the episodic crap is outweighing the movies, then
it's not that they're outweighing it. It's just they're just as important. They're pulling Kingdom Hearts.
Okay, you know what? That's a good, way to put it. Yeah, analogy. That was the word I was looking for.
Essentially, they've made it so that the shows are, you have to watch the shows now, if you want to know what's going to happen next, or if you want to understand what's going on in the movies and vice versa. You can't just, you know, focus on the movies, which, it's been, like, okay, before the pandemic, shows of Marvel were, like, their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were related to the movies, and they had things that made, they had an impact from the movies, but the shows themselves, like, rarely did have an impact in the next movie. However, in terms of the pandemic making them having to not be able to do movies and being able to careful in doing shows, they've decided, oh, now they're just as important.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh shit, the shows have just become the new movies.
Right.
And then after the pandemic, when things have gotten less hectic, oh, it's now balanced. You have to watch both if you want to understand what the fuck's going on. It's a lot of homework.
a lot of homework most people aren't going to do.
Essentially, VJ and I have watched Miss Marvel recap until everything that was supposed to be important.
Because honestly, I had no intention of watching it.
I watched the first three episodes of Miss Marvel, and by the third one, I was done. The humor was way too cringe for me. It was just way too, way too juvenile. It was just, Miss Marvel is a show that's clearly targeted at teenagers and tweens. It's not a show that is like, it's not like a show made for everyone. It's mostly for kids.
Which sucks, because you're going to make it essential watching for the Marvels.
Yeah, we are not going to spoil anything here, but there have been some revelations in the Miss Marvel show that definitely dictate what's going to happen next. So, yeah. You can either watch the show yourself, or you can maybe watch a recap and read it or something.
Like, if you thought the WandaVision necessity for watching Doctor Strange was bad, Marvels is going to be even worse if anyone's even going to watch it, because Captain Marvel was not good.
I hope they fix Captain Marvel. She is a very strong character, like, physically strong character. She needs to be fixed. But yeah, no. Essentially, the new, like, whole shebang with Marvel has been... My biggest takeaway from everything that's been done so far, with a couple exceptions like Moon Knight, is weak. Like, Marvel used to be so much stronger. The shows used to be much more impactful. The quality was a lot more there. Right now, it feels like it's just not as good. I'm not saying it's garbage, it's trash, whatever, no. But it's like, in comparison, it just feels like they've like let go of the quality a little bit, at least for the latest stuff. Even though, like, I love Doctor Strange Multiverse of Marvel, and that was made by Sam Raimi, and I love the Evil Dead movies, and I've been watching the show and stuff, but you can tell that the quality of the movie, like the whole movie, like just like everything in general, like the plot and the story and maybe like graphic and stuff, like mainly the plot story, it's a bit weaker. It's a bit more, it's a bit more, I don't know, old school superheroes where they don't take themselves seriously.
Gotcha.
That's my takeaway from all that.
Fair enough. And as far as to attempt to get on another topic here, something that I wanted to complain about just for a minute, is just particularly with like Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, you know, to build reputable decks, like to build good shit, you either A, need to put a crap ton of money into it, or you need to go insanely hard on ranked duels and continuously win against whales, essentially. I mean, yeah, you want to build a deck in real life, and then I totally get that. But, you know, you may end up spending money in real life, you know, to build a deck, and then come to find out, like, oh no, you don't like it. You hate that you put your money into it, thinking, oh god, this sucks. I don't like this deck build. Why did I waste my real life money on it? Versus, you know, playing Master Duel, where you can legitimately, you know, build like a virtual deck to see if you even like it. And then you move forward from it thinking, oh yeah, you know what? I like this deck. I want to move forward and actually create it. I don't know. I hate that some of these games are really legitimately pay to win. Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel is pay to win, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
Yeah,
And awkward silence.
Sorry,
yeah,
no,
you guys are good.
I don't know anything about you.
You're good.
CJ has to be the one that engages here.
I'm kind of just sorting through my new Earthbound Immortal cards.
Did you get a lot for a good build?
I'm missing
Goodwill.
Did you? Let me pull up its name real quick.
I pulled all of the immortals except Ozlopiscu.
I was just about to say that one's my favorite one.
The hummingbird.
Yeah, the hummingbird.
Yeah, that's the only one I didn't pull. I think that was one of the ultra rare possibilities.
It is, in fact. Yeah, Ozlopiscu. Let's see. Out of you can buy its ultra rarity on TCG Player for 16 cents.
Yeah, I figured it's probably not very expensive.
No, because the archetype really isn't. I hate the term, and I guess this can be another bullshit topic we can mull over for a minute. I hate the terms competitively viable. I fucking hate it, because you know, you may spend your time and effort in building a deck just for someone to say, oh yeah, that's a shitty deck you're building there. Like, I don't care. It's a deck that I want to run and, you know, potentially have fun with. I hate it. But I mean, if you like the shinier rarities, you can get the OG original Ozlopiscu from the 2009-10 on TCG Player for $6. Hmm. And to be honest, like, I'm more of a fan of secret rare versus ultra. I guess I'm simple-minded. I like the more sparkly stuff.
I mean, I appreciate the sparklies, but with Yu-Gi-Oh, I really don't care.
As long as it's not common.
No, I don't even care if it's common.
No, fair enough.
Because Yu-Gi-Oh's holos are so boring.
Versus Pokemon, you know, full arts.
Yeah, versus coming from Pokemon, where you have so many variants and holos, Yu-Gi-Oh's holos are shit.
He's not wrong. He is not wrong. Because while I was at...
Yes?
You played the description, correct?
Yes.
Are the holos even worse than the ones from the Final Fight?
I don't remember getting holos in the Final Fight.
Against the tree.
Yeah, I don't think I ended up pulling any in that one.
Alright, well... Never mind then.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, because I will admit the holos with Pokemon are more prettier compared to Yu-Gi-Oh! Because while I was at the game store, or the comic book store earlier, DJ, I just, you know, just happened to look through the Pokemon singles, and I saw a full art Melmetal that caught my attention, and it was super pretty. And this is a fairly interesting build. I will send this to you via... you know what? Do you want me to send it to you via DM or post it in... It's a potential deck list for an Earthbound Immortal deck. And it actually looks pretty solid.
Sure, I guess.
Because if you build that, I would be legitimately interested in seeing how it runs. Because Earthbound Immortals, they're fun. They were kind of scary in the 5Ds anime, that's for sure. And this particular build... DJ runs one copy of Magician Soul.
I think I pulled a full playset out of those.
Nice.
So no, you're not getting any Magician cards.
I figured I wasn't.
Although I might give you a Dark Magicians if you ask nicely.
Pretty please?
Maybe. I pulled two copies of it, so...
We can talk about it. There's honestly no rush. I mean, my first...
Actually, the most confusing one was the simple magician I found. Where are you? Chaos Command Magician.
Oh, I remember him.
6-star, negate any monster effects that target this card. Very interesting card. I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it's fucking interesting, that's for sure. But yeah, I want to build... I mean, yes, I still want to do, like, a Dark Magician build. But, I mean, I got my Red Eyes. I have my Skull Servants. I really want to make this all bad deck. And while I was there, one of the core pieces I needed was the Jester of Despia. Aluber? That's his name. I found a playset of him at Dragon's Lair. And Oliver is not in the All Bad Structure deck at all. In fact, let me trying to make sure you guys don't hear the paper crinkling noises. To have it all in like a little fucking plastic bag. Okay, here we go. I'll read the quick effect to you, DJ. And again, this is perfect for a stream, by the way. I mean, it's the bullshit segment for a reason. We talk about literally what the fuck ever is on our minds. So it's Oliver, the Jester of Despia. He's a level 4 monster, 1800 attack, 0 defense. Dark attribute, he's a fairy. Fairy-type monster, his effect, if this card is normal or special summoned, you can add one branded spell slash trap from your deck to your hand. If a face-up fusion monster you control is destroyed by battle or leaves the field because of an opponent's card effect, while this card is in your graveyard, you can target one effect monster your opponent controls, special summon this card, and if you do, negate the targeted monster's effects until the end of the turn. Can only use one effect of Jesper the Despia's effect per turn and only once per turn. And again, from doing my research on this Albaz deck, the deck mainly runs around Fallen of Albaz, of course, and then using opponent's monsters as potential material as well. Specifically with the one like Alba Lenitus. Like, granted, the restriction there is, I mean, yes, I am allowed to use your monsters for its fusion material, but the limitation there is that they have to be dragon types. So, like, per example, you know, since we're talking about Earthbound Immortals, depending on what they are, or what specific one, none of them are dragon. Or, I take that back, one of... Nope, not even like the big Earthbound Immortal boss monster. There, you know, one's winged beast, so is another one. Another one's an insect. Like the caveat to that specific dragon card is that it has to be dragon material. Now, granted, I mean, I guess I can get around that by playing like DNA surgery or something, but. Nowadays, with the format of Yu-Gi-Oh, playing a continuous track card like DNA Surgery is completely mute. Because even if I play it, and then, you know, for those of you non-Yu-Gi-Oh initiated people, DNA Surgery is a continuous trap card, and when you activate it, you declare one type of monster, and then all monsters on the field are treated as that type. So obviously, in this case, to summon Alba Lenitus, I would, you know, play DNA Surgery, call the dragon type, and then in my act of summoning, if I say, okay, well, I'm using two of your monsters as material, DJ, he can play, you know, a spell trap removal like Mystical Space Typhoon and gets rid of DNA Surgery. And if that's the case, the effects of DNA Surgery goes away, and then it stops the summoning effectively of Alba Lenitus, because, you know, I need dragons, and if you get rid of DNA Surgery, it's... man, we can do a fucking Yu-Gi-Oh podcast with this.
Is that a spell effect?
We'll draw.
DNA surgery is a trap effect.
No, when you try to summon the monster, are you using a spell effect to summon it?
No. I'm using its own effect. It's like, you know how with, like, contact fusion or something with, like, my gladiator beast, as long as the cards are on the field, I just straight up pop the monster's effect. It's like that. It's like contact fusion. I can either, you know, use a fusion summoning spell like polymerization or branded fusion.
So does that say you special summon it by targeting two dragon monsters or whatever and sacrificing them?
No, it would not be sacrificing. I would be using them as fusion material.
I'm just wondering if that is countable, because it sounds very similar to kaijus.
Okay, so reading Alba Lenitus cannot be used as fusion material, so I cannot turn around and use Alba Lenitus as fusion material for another card. Can't do it. And fusion material requirements are one Fallen of Albaz plus one or more dragon monsters. Cannot be used as fusion material. Must either be special summon, must either be fusion summoned or special summoned by sending the above cards from any monster zones to the graveyard. This card can attack a number of times each battle phase up to the number of materials used for it. Once per turn during the end phase, if this card is in the graveyard because it was sent there this turn, I can add one polymerization normal spell or one fusion normal spell card from my deck to the hand. So I guess one of the easiest ways you can really stop this dude is to not play dragons. Or if you have a way to do monster removal. Because even, you know, I'll still be able to nab your fusions. But unless if I have other support cards on the board, this guy has no protection at all whatsoever. So he's not some super overpowered dragon. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like, it's nice that I have the ability to nab, you know, opponent's dragon monsters for his summoning. But he has no protection. So unless if I have other cards on the field whose effects are already active, you can bottomless trap hole the summoning of Alba Lenitus. You can compulsory evacuation device the motherfucker. Like, this guy literally has no protection unless if I have other cards on the field to protect him, and there are. There are cards in the Albaz archetype that does provide protection to the fusion monsters. But by himself, he literally has no protection. The only bonus is extra attacks equal to the number of dragon monsters I'm able to take, or that I'm able to use for its summoning.
I see.
But, yeah, that was your Yu-Gi-Oh! Segment of the week. Also, I will say, the ghost rare of Dark Magician Girl is super fucking pretty.
I mean, I would have thought so, but so far the only ghost rare I've seen of her is just of her original art, and I'm not the biggest fan.
That's the one I'm talking about. I mean, I like the ghost art rarity, but I don't know why. It seemed like they're just plucking random monsters to pluck random monsters. I mean, where's my... Oh, I think there is a ghost rarity of Stardust Dragon. I think there is, because I'm looking at the ghost rarity of Red Dragon Archfiend. Oh, there is. There is a ghost rare of Stardust, but it's $175, and I'm not spending $175 for a fucking ghost rare Stardust. I mean, My baby Stardust is autographed by Yusei's voice actor. That's my girl. I need to get it framed, honestly. But anyway, that's enough of Yu-Gi-Oh! Dom, where can people find you?
You can all find me on Twitter with the handle Tatman, or you can find me on YouTube at Tomaldo's Gaming Channel. I don't do a lot right now. I'm working on can people find you, DJ?
Yeah, they can find me at twitch.tv/DJSkywalker716, where we stream Tuesdays through Thursdays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central. Come and join us whenever you wish.
And you can find me at my personal Twitter at Raging Ginger. You can follow the show at PPAF Podcast. We have other shows under the banner, a couple of them coming in the near future. We do have Pop Shock Peeps. And speaking of which, DJ, I know after the show we're all pretty much going to go to bed, but tomorrow I want to see if we can try to organize for another Peeps episode. But
sure.
I think that's it. And also, holy fuck, does anyone want to spend $500 on a Starlight Rare of Stardust Dragon?
Nope.
Jesus. Anyway, I've been your host, Gingy.
I've been the imaginary horse.
And I've been the Latino.
Olé.
Olé. All right, you guys, we'll catch you next week for 192, which is episode Sunflora.
See you all later. Take care.